How's it going? My name is Chris Waller. I'm on here on behalf of Dr. Paul Rosenfeld from the UCLA School of Public Health. I work for him in a company called Soil Water Air Protection Enterprise, and I helped him write the book Best Practices for the Pulp and Paper Industry. All right, let's get started. I have no disclosures to bring to light, so let's just go ahead. Pulp and paper mills and fence line communities, a study for four paper facilities and the communities that they impact. All right, the paper industry is a huge and very lucrative business. There's over seven worldwide corporations that make over $10 billion in sales each year. And as you can see from this, they are highly profitable businesses. Very few of them have losses, and they have very high sales in very large-scale corporations. Now, the biggest one is International Paper. Obviously, they're a worldwide corporation. They have plants all over the United States and in other countries as well. Their sales were the highest of all paper corporations in 2009, totaling $23 billion. Their net income was $663 million, so they make plenty of money. The four international paper sites that we studied, one was in Georgetown, South Carolina. Other is in Prattville, Alabama, Bastrop, Louisiana, and Franklin, Virginia. Most of these are low-income communities. This is the Georgetown Mill. As you can see, the houses are directly on the outside of the fence line. And here's a demographic for the Georgetown, South Carolina. The biggest fact to look at here is that 22.7% of the residents within 3 miles of the facility are below the poverty line. Here are the schools located near the facility. Using USA Today's smokestack effect, it shows that near the facility they have schools that are in the 4th to 10th worst percentile. At the Prattville, Alabama mill, slightly more income within 3 miles, only 12.9% of residents are below the poverty line. And schools are slightly better because they're slightly further away, as you can see. They're in the 14th and 15th percentile. Bastrop, Louisiana, as you can see, the houses are right next to it. This facility has actually been closed in the last few years. But the residents around here are pretty poor. Almost 30% of the residents within 3 miles are below the poverty line. Here are the schools. They're some of the worst in the nation. Third and fourth percentile across the board. Franklin, Virginia Mill. Again, 18.6% of the residents are below the poverty line. And basically what that means is that these people are stuck where they are. They don't have enough money to move or change their lives to a less polluted community. So they're stuck with maybe working at the paper mill and having to live next to its odor and pollution without any choice of where they can go to fix it. Here are the schools for Franklin, 4th through 13th percentile, depending on which one you go to. All right, the main reason these paper industries caught our attention was their emissions. Since the late 1980s, the pulp and paper industry has expended sizable efforts to respond to pressures calling for reductions in dioxins and other hazardous releases. They used to emit a large amount of dioxins into rivers and streams, which could eventually accumulate in fish and other wildlife in the rivers. Comprehensive surveys conducted in five-year intervals by Pinkerton in 2007 have estimated sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxide emissions decreased at U.S. pulp and paper mills up to 60% and 15% respectively over the 25 period from 1980 to 2005. So paper mills are getting better, but that is strictly due to new regulations. They did not really do that by themselves. They would never. The downward emission trends resulted from a combination of factors, including reductions in oil and coal use, steadily declining fuel sulfur content, lower pulp and paper production in recent years, increased use of flue gas desulfurization systems on boilers, growing use of combustion modifications, and add-on controls to reduce boiler and gas turbine emissions, and improvement in craft recovery furnace operations. Nonetheless, they are still huge polluters. In 2006, they released over 2 million pounds of methanol, almost 300,000 pounds of ammonia, 179,000 pounds of hydrochloric acid and 94,000 pounds of sulfuric acid. And this is 1 mil in 1 year. And you can see they released a total of 3 million pounds of pollutants in 1 year. The Prattville, also very large polluter, up above 2.2 million pounds hazardous air pollutants, with 300,000 pounds of hydrochloric acid and 200,000 pounds of sulfuric acid. Bastrop, more of the same, big time polluters. And Franklin, same deal. All right, as you can see, all these emissions led to the EPA giving them some of the worst ranks in the nation. These are all percentiles on the dirtiest facilities in the U.S., and all four of the mills score in the 90 percentile in more than three categories. Okay, of the worst of these releases that they have, dioxins are one of the most toxic, so we'll go with those first. Pulp and paper mills are well-known sources of dioxins, a group of chemicals with similar structure, which are carcinogenic to humans. A large percentage of the release comes from the bleaching of the pulps with chlorine and from the combustion of chlorine-contaminated wood. A lot of times they'll take their excess wood chips that were bleached and throw them in the burners to get power, and that releases a ton of dioxins. In addition, two federal health studies have confirmed that many paper mills, including IP paper mills, have historically discharged dioxins into rivers, causing them to accumulate in fish downstream. This is what dioxins do. Immune diseases, immune suppression, lymphoma, Hodgkin's disease, adult onset leukemia, and multiple myeloma. Bladder cancer has been associated with dioxin exposure. Skin diseases include chloracne and soft tissue sarcoma. Nervous system diseases, cataracts, cognitive impairment, mental retardation and developmental delay, peripheral neuropathy, and porphyria. Reproductive diseases, there are quite a few. Altered sex ratio, low birth weight, phytotoxicity, genitourinary malfunctions, menstrual disorders, abnormal sperm, altered time to sexual maturation, breast cancer, and others. Endocrine diseases. Lots of hormonal changes, thyroid cancer, thyroid disorders, and type 2 diabetes, and oral clefts, and lung cancer. Basically, dioxins are very carcinogenic, and any system that they get exposed to probably will have some sort of mal effect. Okay, to test for these dioxin furans, my company, we tested in indoor attic dust samples from residents and churches within 2 miles. We then used EPA method 8290 to detect for dioxin and furans, then used WHO, the World Health Organization's 2005 toxic equivalency factors to calculate the actual equivalency factor for TCDD, which is a standard type of dioxin that a lot of toxicology is based on. We then calculated the 95% upper confidence limit and compared it to the US EPA's regional screening level. The results, samples contain TCDD TEQs ranging from 2 to 1200 picograms per gram, and that is nearly 40 to 150 times the screening level. These are where we tested. The results are on there if you can see them. These are all the tests we did at the four facilities. And here's the results summarized. As you can see, the upper confidence limit is well above the EPA's regional screening level for residential soil. And this means that these communities are highly impacted and that they didn't know what was going on because it's been such a long time and such a slow buildup of these toxins that very rarely biodegrade ever, and they take a very long time. Okay, besides dioxins, paper mills are known for their odor. I'm sure you've driven by one and smelled it. Foul odors are the most obvious emissions from pulp and paper mills. Total reduced sulfur compounds, TRS. TRS is composed of these: hydrogen sulfide, carbon disulfide, butyl mercaptan, methyl mercaptan, dimethyl sulfide, and dimethyl disulfide. And total reduced sulfur compounds that cause these odors can have harmful effects. Some of them are toxic, Some of them are just irritating. Sulfur dioxide is also an odorous chemical, but is not classified as TRS. Odor alone at a non-irritant concentration can have negative health effects, even if the concentrations of the chemical you are inhaling are not above the actual toxic effect. It is found that the odors alone can cause those effects. The primary effects of paper mill emissions are respiratory illness and asthma. Hydrogen sulfide can easily be detected at 4.6 parts per million and can immediately kill you at levels above 1,000 parts per million. But I don't think you're going to have to worry about that next to a paper mill. That's a little ridiculous. Hydrogen sulfide's rotten egg odor can be detected as low as 0.13 parts per million. Long-term exposure has been associated with neurological symptoms, including fatigue, loss of appetite, irritability, impaired memory, altered mood states, headache, and dizziness. Other symptoms in literature include apnea, coma, convulsions, eye irritation, conjunctivitis, and many other respiratory tract irritations and things like that. And children with asthma are especially susceptible to hydrogen sulfide injury, even at low levels. Carbon disulfide is a power neurotoxin acting on the central and peripheral nervous system. It also lists as a reproductive and developmental toxin. Long-term exposure to low levels are associated with irritability, forgetfulness, impaired vision, adverse reproductive impacts, and increased risk of mortality and morbidity from heart attack and stroke. Butyl mercaptan smells like a skunk, detectable at 0.001 parts per million. Industrial health literature recognized butyl mercaptan as a toxic hazard. The lethal dose is not known, but butyl mercaptan is expected to be a reproductive hazard as well. Methyl mercaptan, rotten cabbage or garlic, there is one reported death from acute methyl mercaptan exposure. Some reports indicate a toxicity for methyl mercaptan similar to that of hydrogen disulfide. And the symptoms also include some fatigue, dizziness, and irritation in the respiratory tract. Dimethyl sulfide smells like wild radish and cabbages. Dimethyl sulfide is detectable at 0.02 parts per million, and there is 100% recognition as low as 0.1 parts per million. So this is detectable many miles outside of the paper mill. Chronic low-level dimethyl sulfide exposure includes sleepiness, fatigue, headache, loss of concentration. Dimethyl disulfide, a putrid cabbage-like odor. Sulfur dioxide, burnt match odor. Symptoms include headache, dizziness, nausea. Children, the elderly, and asthmatic people, they are especially susceptible to SO2 exposure. Okay, besides the toxic effects of the chemicals, odor alone can cause health effects. How odor causes health effects? Headaches, respiratory systems, ocular symptoms, neurotoxicity. Health complaints to odor in the absence of irritation are not well understood, but appear to involve regional brain organization, physiological mechanism, modulation of breathing patterns, altered mood from unpleasant and conditioned adversities. Pleasant and unpleasant odors activate different parts of the brain. A lot of times, you could just, whenever you smell something, it can also trigger a memory very quickly. Also, in times, if you smell an odor and you got an illness or adverse effects from that odor once, the next time you smell that odor, chances are the effects will come back. Unpleasant odors impair mood. Symptoms increase levels of tension, depression, anger, fatigue, and confusion. Mood impairment and stress have been associated with coronary artery. Yeah, this is what I was saying. Conditioned aversions may play a role in perceptions and health symptoms induced by malodors. If a malodor has previously been associated with flu or allergic symptoms, the odor alone may subsequently recreate these symptoms. Also, odors have been known to exacerbate asthma episodes. These are three sources that agree with me. Simple solution to reducing odorous emissions. Odor from pulp and paper mills can be reduced through thermal oxidation. Thermal oxidation, TRS, is achieved by two steps: collecting non-condensable gases in emission vents and eliminating the odors through combustion and incineration. And then moving on to hydrochloric acid, another major pollutant from paper mills. Everybody knows what hydrochloric acid is. It burns. And so chronic exposure can lead to gastritis, chronic bronchitis, dermatitis, photosensitization, dental discoloration, and erosion. and the following symptoms occurred following chronic inhalation of HCL exposure: hyperplasia of the nasal mucosa, larynx, and trachea, lesions of the nasal cavity, severe dyspnea, cyanosis, altered estrus cycles, increased fetal mortality, and decreased fetal weight. And these are how the residents become contaminated. They can be exposed through chemicals released from the facility. They can go through air, soil, leaching into groundwater, surface water runoff, freshwater sediment, plant uptake, and animal uptake. For example, the fish in the rivers and streams that collected the dioxins. And they can also be exposed through take-home exposure pathways. They could get the chemicals on themselves and then bring them home to their families if they work there. Or just being near the plant itself, they could collect some of the toxins. Okay, and as a result of living near these facilities, here's a histogram of diseases in Georgetown. This is actually a list of plaintiffs from a court case against one of these mills, so we stole the data from that. What we did is we put the histogram together, and you can see that heart and circulatory and lung and respiratory are the main impacts of living near a mill. Respiratory disease count, lots of asthma, lots of chronic bronchitis. And in Prattville, same sort of deal. Heart and circulatory disease is very high, and so is lung and respiratory. And as the same, asthma count and sinus trouble is the second biggest. And as well, chronic bronchitis is there as well. Okay, what must be done to stop this? We must reduce the use of sulfur and chlorine in the pulping process. Chlorine-free bleaching is a relatively new process that greatly reduces total dioxin releases. It's just more expensive, so most of the paper facilities do not do it. Low sulfur feedstocks greatly reduce TRS releases as well. Improvement to control technologies is definitely necessary. You have to replace or improve incinerators. Incomplete combustion greatly increases dioxin releases, and TRS emissions can be controlled by thermal oxidations. Also, wet scrubbers and electrostatic precipitators help do a good job, too. All right. Thanks a lot. Go ahead. We had basically a list of all of these plaintiffs in what was going to be a class action suit that never really came together. So we had a bunch of different factors. So they basically filled out a questionnaire. So if they smoked, they lived in a house that had a fire recently, they were dropped from our stats. We were looking for people that did not have elevated risk, and we weeded them out.